Now on Sports Talk, it's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to take your questions about the great outdoors in South Carolina. Give him a call at 888-898-2525. It's SC Wild from DNR on the Sports Talk Radio Network.
Always one of my favorite times of every 2 weeks when we have SC Wild here on Sports Talk, starring Major Billy Downer. That's right. I play just a bit role here. It's all about Major Downer. It's all about his great thoughts on the great outdoors in South Carolina. And he's got some great stuff to talk about tonight. First of all, Major, good to have you with us. Welcome into another month of SC Wild here on Sports Talk.
Thank you, sir. Always a pleasure to be here, and thank you for the great introduction. Very kind, sir.
Well, I hope I didn't overspeak
there. You are way more than a sideshow in this, for sure.
I don't know. A lot of people think I'm just a sideshow. Anyway, we're going to talk about flounder and flounder fishing here in South Carolina, are we not?
We are in a little bit. We're going to start off with turkey season, though, so let's talk about, because across the state now, everywhere turkey season's open. That's open on private land in game zone 1 and 2, game zones 3 and 4, and WMA land statewide. So turkey season is upon us everywhere. A lot of birds are out there. Some people are having some trouble finding birds right now, getting a little scarce in some places, but they will come out eventually. But, yes, season goes in. It came in April the 1st in game zone 1 and 2. And on WMA land, so that will go through May 10th. For the rest of us here in game zone 3 and 4, we started in March 22nd. It will go through the end of the month, April 30th. So turkey season, again, is always a kind of a – you ask a turkey hunter if they like cold weather or hot weather, they'll tell you two different things. I like a cold morning because I can hear the gobblers, but it's been hot the last 2 weeks for sure. 84 degrees has feel like 100 degrees since we've been in the 30s and 40s, but anyway – it's been pretty cold, pretty warm the last couple of days, particularly the last 2 weeks. But so that changes things too. It's hot. Nobody wants to go in the afternoon turkey hunting, but morning's kind of where they stick the time to turkey hunt. But some folks having success. Heard some folks doubling up with a father son hunt, both taking a bird. But some folks having trouble finding birds. Or the age old story: you go out, you hear a rooster. You hear a gobbler gobble, and then he hushes up, and they went the other way. So, again, that's turkey hunting. But that's our turkey season right now in full swing. We'll be interested to kind of see how it turns out the rest of this month.
Let me ask you about the season overall and the wild turkey population in South Carolina that the hunters are looking for. Is it still bountiful?
Yeah, our birds are doing pretty well. I mean, again, there was a time, 20 years ago, we didn't have a season statewide. It wasn't everywhere. And now we have you can take a turkey in every county of the state now. The season's open everywhere. So our birds are doing well. There is some concern about what our turkey population is going to do over the next few years or has been doing. Of course, like anything, drought, heavy rain, all of that affects nesting birds. And young bird, your young, what they call your recruitment of your young birds, be able to survive heavy rains. Sometimes they drown, don't make it. Nest predation is a big deal in our state. A lot of folks are concerned with coyotes. Coyotes having some take on turkeys, although long-term studies have showed so far showed that coyotes have a minimal impact on turkeys. But when a turkey hunter says he's calling and a coyote shows up, kind of hard to refute that. But your nest predators, your raccoons, snakes, things like that, they do take a toll on turkeys. And I have seen even seen buzzards take a toll on nests when when the young turkeys are just hatching. Sometimes the buzzards will get in there and they'll take them as well. And I've seen that happen. And they'll end up busting the rest of the eggs up and eating them. So, anything that nests on the ground is kind of open for business for anybody that likes eggs. Possums, skunks, raccoons, like we said, things you don't think about like buzzards. eating those young turkeys on the ground when they're coming out when they're wet and very susceptible or just they're just getting out of the egg and they're getting their dried off. They're very susceptible at that point to predation. So anyway, it that affects your recruitment. Adult birds, what's after them? Anything on the ground, again, coyotes can be after them. Again, haven't seen studies that show that they have a real impact, but could they have some? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So again, the season's our population is pretty stable overall, but can it get better? Absolutely, it could get better. So there's a study right now that they're talking about doing to do some long-term research on our turkey population to kind of get some real facts on where our turkey season is going, our turkey population is going. So I'll be interested to see how that goes. This year we started this SC Game Check. We talked about that whole show. For folks that didn't get that or didn't hear that show, it's a smartphone app that allows you to do your reporting of your turkey take this year. You're required to use the SC Game Check now as well as your tag. So in addition to tagging the bird now, you can report your bird same day of the harvest. So by midnight of the day of the harvest, using SC Game Check, there were a few problems up front with those who had Android phones. I think they've got that corrected now. Mm-hmm. The Apple phones were working pretty well. But again, anytime you put anything new out there, folks get, they just get befuddled. They get the feathers rustled. We're not used to it. But SC Game Check is new. That's kind of a new way of things. Our legislature really pushed for this ability to be able to electronically report harvests. Turkey was the first. This is our first year of it. But the really neat thing is when the system's up and working fully, you'll be able to go, anybody can go and look and see where birds are being taken across the state, what the numbers are by county. There were a couple of glitches here to begin with, but it's a really good tracking tool. It won't tell you exactly where a bird was, but it's not going to tell somebody where you killed your bird at. But it's going to let people know how many birds were taken, for instance, in Sumter County, Clarendon County, Berkeley County, Greenwood County, whatever, for the year, which is pretty interesting there. And it gives real-time data for our biologists to look at to see when the harvest happens, if it's first of the season, middle of the season, late season, because there's so much discussion over, when are birds easier to hunt? Is it the first of the season or is it the end of the season? Because it's been argued when the hens hit the nest, then the gobblers are more out really looking and really gobbling hard because that's what the gobbling studies are showing. They're really gobbling more at the end of the season because they're looking for hens and the hens aren't coming to them. Because remember, the gobbler gobbles and the hen's supposed to come to him. And he gets frustrated and starts moving toward her, which is how we're able to take them when we call them to us. But it's supposed to work where the gobbler gobbles and the hen comes to him. So when the hens are on the nest toward the end of the season, those gobblers are gobbling the head off and nobody's coming. So they're just getting frustrated. So the studies are showing that is when gobblers should be more susceptible to taking. But there's plenty of turkey honeys that will argue with you that the first of the season is when they do their best work. So,
what you're telling me there, even in the turkey world, it's the woman taking the man down eventually.
Absolutely, it is. He is. He is dependent upon her for sure, and he is definitely, yes, absolutely. But that's turkey season right now. It's kind of where we are with our turkey season. Again, we'll look, see in the next couple of weeks how the season ends up. It goes through May 10th for Game Zone 1 and 2, but will end on April 30th here in Game Zone 3 and 4.
Okay. So, let me throw the number out there if anybody has a comment about turkey season or anything else you want to share your comments or questions or thoughts with the major. The number 888-898-2525, 888-898-2525. We're also monitoring our Twitter timeline. You can shoot us a question at SportsTalkSC on Twitter, at SportsTalkSC on Twitter. Now shall we travel to the flounder side of things?
Sure, we'll talk flounder. So flounder right now are a hot topic across the state. There's a lot of concern about our flounder population, and there is a current bill out there. I think there's actually two versions of the bill, but there's a bill. Both bills address the daily take and possession limits for flounder, which currently are 10 fish per person, 20 per boat. So three of us on a boat, you can only take 20 fish. But one person can take 10 fish by themselves. Our flounder population has been in a drastic decline over the last 30 years. It's kind of leveled off, but it's dangerously low. Talking to our biologists and our population studies, this bill currently, and this is what scares people, is it would take the limit to 5 per person and 10 per boat. So the limit would change to 5 per person, 10 per boat. Again, this is a bill. This hasn't passed yet, and it may not pass. But right now, just talking about the things that we're looking at, the legislature is looking at to try to help with this problem. So there's also a thought about putting a slot limit in there. Currently, the minimum size for flounder, you know, you got a minimum size for flounder, and that's your minimum size right now is 14 inches. So 15 inches, I'm sorry, 15 inches. And when we talk about flounder in South Carolina, we're talking about the southern flounder. That's typically what everybody gets here. But the minimum inch right now, the minimum length is 15 inches. So that's at least 15 inches long. The new slot recommendation would be 16 to 20 inches. So with an allowance for one trophy fish over 20. So out of your 5 fish, you could have one fish over 20. But the other 4 would have to be between 16 and 20 inches. So those are good fish. A 19-inch flounder is a good flounder. That's basically what most people catch. Around 17, 18, 19 inches. But, you know, I've caught one fish that was 25 inches in my life, and it was a tremendous fish. I caught it in North Carolina on a wreck. Just weird that I caught it that way, but it was a 5.5-pound flounder.
Oof.
Beautiful fish. I will always remember that. But, you know, when you talk to people, that's what you hear is that one story. So everybody typically doesn't catch 25-inch flounder. They're going to catch a 20-inch or 21-inch. And you know, a lot of 19s, but that 25-inch flounder is something you kind of have a story about, because that's the one you got, the big one. But the thing about the big fish is this. Our big fish are the ones who are the most successful egg layers. And let me say this, something I learned that I did not know. Any flounder that's in our current size, limit of 15 or bigger, they're all females, every one of them. Male flounder do not get over 12 to 13 inches in length. So the male flounder are little short guys. They don't get very long. So the female flounder are the ones that get big. So these big fish that we'd be trying to protect, the 20 over 20 inches, those are your real successful egg layers. They have good egg production, and they lay good eggs. So that's best for the flounder as a species and as a whole long term. So that's the things to be looking at when we start getting concerned about flounder. We got to look at what do we do to protect the fish that are helping us create new fish. So that's kind of the thought pattern here. But right now, you know, whenever you start changing a limit on something, you find out what people's interest is. And flounder is something people love to go fish for in this state. You know, I've talked about gigging. I love to gig. A lot of folks love to gig flounder. So there's a lot of interest in this. A lot of concern about flounder, though. And above all, we need to really take a look at our flounder fishery and see what we need to do to protect it so that my children and your grandchildren will continue to be able to catch flounder in the future. So that's the big game, and I think everybody can agree on that.
But, I mean, I can see, I mean, the consumption of flounder around the country has just got to be gigantic because, you know, everybody, when they go to a restaurant, a fish restaurant, they're looking for flounder for the most part. I mean, you got your sea bass people and your fancy fish people, but wouldn't you say that most people want a good piece of flounder on that plate when they go into a fish restaurant?
Sure, but they're not all caught here in South Carolina, so that's one of the things, too. Our fishery in this state is 98% recreational. On flounder. We don't have a huge commercial fishery for flounder here.
Are other states in better shape with their flounder than we are?
No. So the southern flounder go North Carolina to Florida. Those fish intermingle out there in offshore. So our fish travel offshore and then they come back inshore. So we have a general southerly, as I understand, a southerly kind of move. Flounder tend to move southerly during their life down. So, but, you know, North Carolina has really strict limits right now on flounder. They've been a traditional commercial fishery for flounder, where we've been traditionally a recreational fishery for flounder. So a lot going on there. But again, you know, flounder is just something people love to fish for here. And we want to do what we can to protect them. We'll see where this goes this year. It may not pass this year. It's being talked about a lot, but we'll see what happens. But the main focus, though, to keep in mind is that what do we need to do? How can we balance this between, you know, maintaining the future of flounder and our fishery overall, and then how do we maintain the ability of our sportsmen and women to be able to go out there and fish for flounder too?
All right.
So that's always a delicate balance.
Let me throw a question at you from a listener here in the Myrtle Beach area, and thank you, Mike, for tweeting at us and listening to us on our affiliate, WSEA-FM 100.3 FM in Myrtle Beach. We really appreciate that. And Major Mike wants to know, he's relatively new to South Carolina, how far east does the Wild Turkey Range reach? He's in Myrtle Beach. He's curious how far he needs to go to hunt them. So again, how far east does the Wild Turkey Range reach there in the Myrtle Beach area?
Okay, so the question for that, the answer to that would be, again, we have turkeys in every county. So there are turkeys in Horry County. So right there in his county, there are turkeys there. Are they east of 17, between 17 and the beach? Probably not. Don't know that turkeys are out there sunbathing on the beach. But certainly in, you know, the less populated areas of Horry County, we have a very healthy turkey population. There is some WMA land there that does intermingle in around 17. And certainly there are some turkeys, there is a turkey population there, so not far for him to have to go to look for turkeys. I'm not sure about, I have to look and see what's available for hunting from WMA land in Horry County for turkeys. And I'll try to look that up while we're talking. But again, turkeys in every part of the state. So Horry County doesn't have to go far. When he says east, I'm assuming he's talking, you know, 17 is that line there, and I'm not sure that there's a lot as far as east of 17 toward the beach for sure. Certainly not on Ocean Drive.
Well, what about –
but there's several good WMAs there.
Maybe he's confused, and maybe he's kind of like not sure. Of course, we all should know where the east is because that's where the water is, but let's just say the other direction going west.
West.
Let's apply the question that way. How far does that turkey range go that way?
Absolutely. So all the way to the mountains. But
yeah.
Where he's at, there's some good WMAs there. There's Woodbury WMA, which is not far from him over in Marion County. Very dense forest, good turkey land there. That's west of him, within about 45-minute drive of Myrtle Beach. Conway, for sure. There's the Waccamaw River Heritage Preserve, WMA. That's right there, very close to him as well. So there's a lot of different areas close to him that he could look at. You know, if he goes west, he's going to find even more turkeys the farther west in South Carolina, particularly to the Sand Hills. A lot of turkeys in that area, in the PD area as well.
All right. Hopefully that answered the question one way or the other. By the way, let's talk about there was a tweet from South Carolina DNR earlier this week where you guys opened up a new office of some type down in the Ainer area. What can you share with us on that?
So, new licensing office. You know, years back when the state went through some rough times, we closed a lot of our traditional offices. We had an office in Horry County, and happy to say that the Ainer office is now open. That's going to be able to sell licenses there, I believe, and do some simple boat registrations as far as maybe renewals for the most part. But that's the Ainer office. They're looking at that. So definitely be able to do some licensing there. So that's going to be a new opportunity and helps folks in that Horry County area, Georgetown area, not have to go all the way to the Florence office. Because right now, everybody's been having to go to the Florence office to do licensing and any kind of simple boat titling questions and paperwork. So the Ainer office is now open. That just opened up this week. So thank you for reminding me, Phil. That was a great piece put out for folks in the Horry County area and Georgetown area. So Ainer will be a good place to start going to do some licensing. Again, basic boating stuff.
All right. And last couple of minutes tonight, Major, we'll be with you again in a couple of weeks. But a lot of folks are out on spring break. A lot of kids are out, and I'm sure a lot of them are out in the fields. They're on the water. What kind of words of advice do you have for the youngsters out there to better enjoy their spring break in the outdoors?
Well, absolutely. Anytime it gets hot like it is now, folks head to the water. We are a boating state. We've talked about that many times on this show. So just a reminder to folks, you get out in the boat, particularly this time of year, probably the first time you got back in that boat, remember, check for your safety equipment. Make sure you got a life jacket for everybody in the boat. Make sure the life jacket fits everybody in the boat. Make sure it's in good working order, doesn't have any rips or tears in it. Mm-hmm. Make sure it's where you can get to it. It's readily accessible. Make sure your lights work on your boat so that if you're out at night, that you can be seen. Make sure you got your registration card and your registration is current and up to date. Remember, our registration process has changed. And now you will pay your taxes to the county and the count, and you'll pay your registration fee right then like you do for your car. And then you'll automatically be sent your registration paperwork. That's the new process now. You pay your taxes every year to the county, and they'll send your registration for your boat. So that's how it's going to work now, which will help out tremendously on resale of boats. We've had that issue for a long time by people who will try to buy a boat and then find out when they start trying to do the paperwork that that boat has owed 3 years of back taxes, and now you're responsible for it, which has always seemed unfair. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's always seemed unfair, but now that's ended because taxes are year to year. So that will help tremendously there.
All right. Very quick. I think we have a quick call for you. Yes, we got about a minute and a half. Thank you for that, Pat. Steve in Augusta, if you can go quickly, we'll get your answer back to you. What you got for the Major?
Hey, slow as I talk, I don't know if a minute and a half will last, but I just wanted to simply tell you guys, I appreciate this show. I find myself every Wednesday wondering if this is the week that this show's going to be on. So I just want you to know that even though I'm in Georgia, I grew up hunting down in Allendale, South Carolina, and it's always great to hear y'all. And Representative Bill Hickson was in our club down there, and I know he's a good supporter of outdoor activities. So thank you, and I appreciate your every other Wednesday show.
Well, we thank you. We are the first and third Wednesday of every month. Is that right, Major? First and third Wednesday?
That's right. That's right. That's right. And Bill Hickson is absolutely a friend of TNR. Great squirrel hunter. He loves to squirrel hunt. So I know Bill Hickson very well. He loves his squirrel dog. So loves hunting, period. But he really loves squirrel hunting. So he's helped us before on a tomo hunt. So
and
I'll take
Steve,
one, make one hunt.
Steve, you talked plenty fast. We appreciate that, my man.
All right, man. Yeah. Tell Bill
Thank
that
you.
Bart Chandler gave him a shout out.
We'll do it. Thanks, sir.
Okay, great way to end it, Major. Any final thoughts?
No, sir. We'll catch back up next month. But again, folks on the water, remember to check your safety equipment before you get out there and enjoy the rest of our turkey season.
You take care, sir. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Yes, sir. See you.
Take care. Major Billy Downer, South Carolina DNR. As always, SC Wild. We appreciate him being on with us.